I'm just going to read a few scriptures if you want to turn there. I'm just going to go quickly so I can kind of jump in here where I want to jump into. But just referencing some scriptures that we shared in past lessons. Isaiah 55:8, it says, "For my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, saith the Lord." Thank God. And that's still concerning adversity and tribulation. His thoughts are higher than our thoughts. His ways are so much higher. And it says, "For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts." And he goes on a few chapters back in Isaiah 53:1, "Who hath believed our report, and to whom is the arm of the Lord revealed?" And we spent some lessons looking at Luke 18, verse 27, "The things which are impossible with men are possible with God." Some translations of the Complete Jewish Bible, it says, "What is impossible humanly is possible with God." And that pertains to what we're talking about this morning, tribulation and affliction, persecution, those types of things. What's impossible for us to change? With God, it's possible. Hallelujah. So we're going to look at adversity and pressure and how to handle it. And I'll just say this. The answer to adversity and to problems is in the Word of God. We know this from the Scriptures. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Now, yes, God moves by His Spirit, but if you run from the Word of God in the time of affliction and adversity, you're running from your help, because your help is in the Word of God. If we look just in the New Testament, we see the apostles and the believers at that time facing extreme adversity. God didn't cause it. The devil did. And what was the purpose of it? To halt or to stop what? The preaching of the gospel. So the adversity came to stop that. And so is the same in our life, that it's to stop you as what? A witness. It says we're all ministers of the gospel. So don't get the impression, you know, I mean, we've shared these before. Don't get the impression that if you walk by faith, you're not going to have problems. You know, a lot of people think, well, just because I'm a mighty man or woman of God and I'm walking in faith, that I'm not going to have issues and problems. Faith gives you the ability to overcome the challenges in life. Doesn't absent you, so to speak, from the problems. Now let's turn over. I want to look at something here, a few scriptures here this morning. 1 Thessalonians, Paul writing to the church of Thessalonica. 1 Thessalonians chapter 3, they were faced with extreme affliction. Chapter 3 of 1 Thessalonians and verse 1, starting in verse 1. I'll wait a moment for you to get there because this is going to be good. You think you're the only one going through some stuff. The scripture said that these things were written for our example. Starting in verse 1 of 1 Thessalonians 3, reading from the King James, it says, "Wherefore, when we could no longer forbear. That's just another way the New Living says when we could stand it no longer. In other words, you can't take it any longer. We thought it good to be left at Athens alone and sent Timotheus. So Paul sent Timothy, our brother and minister of God and our fellow laborer in the gospel of Christ. To do what? To establish you and to what? Comfort you concerning what? Your faith. So he came to establish them in their faith and to comfort them in their faith because they were dealing with some stuff. And I'm sure Paul either got a natural report or sensed some things in the spirit and sent Timothy. And what does it go on? It says here in verse 3, that no man should be moved by these what? Afflictions. Now I'm going to get into it a little bit further down when we look at John chapter 16 and verse 33. And Jesus said, be of good cheer, I've overcome. He said, in this world you will have tribulations, but be of good cheer because I've overcome them. That word tribulation in John 16:33 is the exact same Greek word that's used here in this scripture for afflictions. Now let me just read what that means. This word affliction and tribulation also in John 16:33. It describes a situation so difficult that it causes one to feel stressed, squeezed, pressured, or crushed. It can be translated distress, affliction, or trouble. It indicates a level of intensity that is almost unbearable in the natural. That's what this word means, this Greek word means. It means to be in a tight place. Just some thoughts. We could be in a tight place concerning health, our health. It almost seems unbearable. I can't take this anymore. I've gotten this report, and everything I'm doing, it's getting worse. Could be your health. Could be a tight place in your finances. You could say, you know what? I can't make it. I can't help it. I don't know what to do. I'm in a tight place. That's what this was saying, this Greek word. Could be relationships. Could be a tight place. Could be something that looks unbearable. You understand what I'm saying? I went through that. It looked unbearable. Not going to change. Where is God in my adversity? Where is he in this? See? Because some of us, as you're walking through, it don't feel good, does it? It don't feel good. And Jesus said, be of good cheer. You need to help me there. Because this ain't cheery right here. See, but Jesus said, be of good cheer because I have overcome the world. See, the devil would put up such a fight that it looks like in the natural, it's not going to change. It's hopeless. See, this is what we're talking about. And it's to get at what? What is it actually to destroy? Your faith. Because faith, whosoever is born of God, overcometh the world, and this the victory that overcometh the world, even our faith. So the devil knows that if you get him into the arena of faith, he's whooped. He's whooped. So what does he try to do? He gets you over into the natural, looking at the problem, and it's a problem, right? No two ways about it. We can't stand here and go, there ain't no problem, ain't no problem, ain't no problem. I'm not sick, I'm not sick. I don't have a problem with my finances. You're a fool. You have a problem. But faith in God, he overcame it. So we need to recognize that. So I'm just trying to make a point here that this word affliction, when it's used in 1 Thessalonians, that no man should be moved by these afflictions. You know, we can just read that and go, oh, isn't that nice? No, this is talking about something so unbearable, they were ready to toss the towel in and quit. And Paul sent Timothy down to them to do what? It says to what? To establish them in the faith and to comfort them. Don't give up, guys. Don't give up. Remember what Paul taught you. Because what does it say here? For yourselves know that we are appointed thereunto. Now, don't read that and make it, you know, you could read that and say, well, it looks like God appointed these issues. No. We're going to have problems and issues in life. But they weren't appointed by God. They weren't established by God. God didn't create the issues. So continue with this thought here. For verily, verse 4, for verily when we were with you, we told you before that we should suffer tribulation, even as it came to pass, and you know. For this cause, when I could no longer forbear, I sent to know your what? Faith, lest by some means the tempter have tempted you, and what? Our labor would be in vain. So Paul's sending Timothy down there to check up on their faith, to help them, so that what? His labor wouldn't be in vain. So this is the heart of Paul. He's invested a lot of work, a lot of sowing into them. And they're faced with great adversity to the gospel. And it must have been extreme, even unto death. And so what happens? He sends Timothy down to stir their hearts so that his efforts, his work in the gospel wouldn't be lost for the purpose of furthering the gospel. So when we talk about affliction and adversity, the child of God is going to suffer persecution and adversity. So the answer is, yeah, we do suffer tribulation and affliction, or pressures, you could say, in life. But the child of God is not to suffer what Jesus suffered for us. Because the redemption then would be an incomplete redemption. So he took our infirmities and bore our pains and sicknesses on the cross. So what Jesus took for us, he's not turning around and then putting it back on us and expecting us to suffer with something that he suffered for us. So if it's something he suffered for, we don't have to suffer for that. But there is going to come pressure, an extreme pressure and affliction for the gospel's sake against you as an individual, could be a church, could be your family. You could, you hear the stories. What the, I came to Christ and people say, I got more problems now than I had before. What the heck is going on? Adversity. I mean, we could take a look and what does it say in the parable of the sower? You can go there and it says, thorns and thistles choked the word and it became unfruitful. So those kind of things will come. But Jesus said, be of good cheer, I have overcome. So we can see here, he sent Timothy to know their faith, lest by any means his labor would have been in vain. So everyone, whether you're a saint, now all of us are saints, we know God. But whether you're a saint or sinner, you're going to face adversity and problems in life. Right? You're not going to escape them unless you get out of this body. So the big difference is how we handle it. Let me just read a few scriptures here, and you can turn over to John 16:33, what I'm referencing. Psalm 34:19, it says, many are the afflictions of the righteous, afflictions, pressures, problems, many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord delivereth them out of some of them, all of them. He delivereth them out of them all. John 16:33. Let's look at this. It says, these things I have spoken unto you, that in me, you might have peace. In the world, you shall have tribulation. This word tribulation, again, I mentioned it. It's the same Greek word that's used in 1 Thessalonians chapter 3 and verse 1 for the word afflictions. Same word. He said, you're going to have tribulations. That, and I'll read it again. It says, situations so difficult that it causes one to feel stressed, squeezed, pressured, or crushed. It indicates a level of intensity that's almost unbearable in the natural. Jesus said, we're going to have that. He said, we're going to face that. We're going to walk through those kind of things in life. Pressures, adversity. But he said, but be of good cheer. It doesn't say cry or have a pity party. It doesn't say cry or have a pity party. It says be of good cheer. What? I've overcome the world. I overcome the world. Now, just let's back up a second and let's look at this in this scripture verse. It says, in me you might have what? Peace. What's the word that we all know for peace? Shalom. Oh. It says you might have shalom. Shalom means what? Well-being. Wholeness, prosperous, soundness. It doesn't sound like affliction and persecution, does it? It says you might have wholeness and soundness and prosperousness. See, what did he say? In me, as opposed to in the world. He didn't say, in me, you're going to have tribulation and problems. He said, no, in me, you will have peace and shalom. But in the world, you're going to be faced with these things. But be of good cheer, I've overcome them. Right? Now let's just look at something. Just a thought. I'm going to look at 2 Corinthians. You can look at this here, 2 Corinthians chapter 1 and verse 20. I love this in the Message translation. But 2 Corinthians chapter 1 and verse 20. In the King James, it says, for all the what? Promises of God in him are yea. That means yes. So would you not agree that God's not holding back anything from us? Not a thing. In me you shall have peace. So he's not holding anything back. I like what the Message translation says. Whatever God has promised gets stamped with the yes of Jesus. Whatever he's promised, it's a yes. It's a yes. So anything that's included through the redemptive work of Christ is a yes. He's not holding it back. Amen. Now let's take a look at, we're in 2 Corinthians chapter 1. Go over to chapter 12. Let's look at Paul and look at verse 7. So when we look at Paul was told, when he came to that experience on the road to Damascus, the Lord showed him those things that it says he must suffer. The opposition. So he knew about it before he entered into ministry. So here, you can see here, did Paul reach a point of feeling squeezed? Oh, yeah. He said, get rid of this, please. Starting in verse 7, and lest I should be exalted above measure through the abundance of the revelations, there was given to me a thorn in the flesh. What's the thorn in the flesh? The messenger of Satan to do what? Buffet me, lest I should be exalted above measure. So here, the revelation that God gave Paul, he was sharing, and there was opposition, extreme opposition to it, to the point where it says he was shipwrecked, he was what, beaten 5 times, and just all of the various things that we read through the New Testament, and he got to this place, right? For this thing I besought the Lord thrice, that it might, what? Depart from me. And he said unto me, my grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. See, if the Lord had said anything different, then it would have conflicted with John 16:33. When Jesus was here on the earth, he overcame the world. And what else did, then what did Paul respond? He said, most gladly, therefore, will I glory. You know, when I look that word glory up, it means to boast, to rejoice. That's have cheer. Be of good cheer. This word, when he said, what does it say here? Most gladly, therefore, will I rather glory. That means to rejoice. In what? His infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. Therefore, I take pleasure in infirmities and reproaches and necessities and persecutions and distresses for Christ's sake, for when I am weak, then I am strong. You know, that's a growth thing right there for all of us. If you can say that in the midst of something, that's growth. Because it's not easy. In the flesh, it's not easy. Paul had to get a revelation from God. He had to speak to him. Because even Paul reached that place of saying, it's too much. And what was he after? He was after the revelations that was given to him. He wanted him to stop, to just get rid of it. And God is saying, no. He said, just because you walk by faith and not by sight, it's not going to absent you from the problems. Romans chapter 5, let's look at verse 1. First few verses, Romans chapter 5. It says, therefore what? Being justified by what? Faith. We have what? Peace, shalom. With God, how? Through our Lord Jesus Christ, by Christ, we have access by faith into this grace wherein we stand. This is what the Lord was saying to Paul. My grace is sufficient. This is how we're going to stand. And rejoice in hope of the glory of God. And not only so, but we glory in what? Tribulations. You say, what? We glory in tribulations also, knowing that tribulation worketh patience, and patience experience, and experience hope, and hope maketh not ashamed, because what? The love of God is shed abroad in our hearts. How? By the Holy Ghost, which is given unto us. Hallelujah. We got to know by the Holy Ghost that God loves us. And then I'll just read this. Well, you read in that chapter 5 and verse 17. For if by one man's offense death reigned by one, much more. Talking about grace again here. They which receive abundance of grace and the gift of righteousness shall do what? Reign in life. That means we're going to overcome. We're going to reign in life by Christ Jesus. Hallelujah. So, let me just share this here. Go back to John 16. Again, because I want to look at this a little further. Talking about tribulation, adversity, problems, pressure. But John 16:33, I'll read it again. These things I have spoken unto you, that in me you might have peace. In the world you shall have tribulation. Doesn't say might, it says you shall have tribulation. But be of good cheer, I have overcome the world. Now I'm going to read some definitions here of what cheer means. Cheer, in this Greek word, means to be bold, have confidence, be confident. It literally means to be courageous. So when he says, be of good cheer, he's saying, be confident. Be courageous. That's a little different. Rick Renner said it this way. He said, a better meaning would be to take heart. This would be a word spoken to strengthen someone facing some kind of hardship. Jesus was literally saying, in this world, you will go through some distressing times, but take heart and be courageous. Stand tall in faith. Be strong in faith. That's what he's saying. Take heart. And then Jesus says, he said, be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. This word overcome is also a word for victory. I have overcome. I have the victory over the world. This word overcome does not imply a single victory, but a continuous and abiding victory. He said, I overcame the world. He didn't do it just once. The devil is defeated. And all of his works are defeated. It's an abiding victory. It's a continuous victory. And we live in that. This word world, he said, when I have overcome the world is the Greek word cosmos. This is the arena where Satan wields his influence. And it describes also all the human systems in the world. Jesus overcame them. Not just Satan, but the systems, the world systems, he overcame that. The scripture says in 2 Corinthians 4:4, Satan is the god of this world, not the god of this earth. He's the god of this world. Satan operates through human systems of this world, the world's systems of government and religion. These systems, listen, these systems are what the enemy, the devil, uses to attack the church and God's people. He uses these systems to attack the church and God's people. The devil operates through them. Paul took to heart the words of Jesus. The devil, think about this, the devil was unable to stop Paul, who was determined to finish the assignment that was given to him. He was determined. He took heart. And he was determined to finish. We read about it. I press for the mark of the high calling of God. I don't look behind. And this is what we need to do. Take heart when we're facing something that's unbearable to our flesh and our mind. Take heart because God is with you. He's with you. He never left you. He will never, ever forsake you. Turn over to Psalm 94. Let's look at this a moment here. Psalm 94. There's so much to share. We're just going to start this here. Psalm 94. But we need to take heart. take heart. God's with us. We can come through this. The devil's defeated. And he wants you to think he's not. Psalm 94 and verse 14. Psalm 94, verse 14, talking about the Lord being with us and for us. I'm going to read this in the King James and then the Good News Translation. It says, "For the Lord will not cast off his people, neither will he forsake his inheritance." Yes, sir. He will not cast off his people, neither forsake his inheritance. Whose inheritance? You. That's what it says in the Good News Translation. It says, the Lord. In the Good News Translation, it says, the Lord will not abandon his people. He will not desert those who belong to him. He won't abandon you or desert you. In the midst of something that looks like it can't change. Don't ever let thoughts persist in your mind when you don't have enough money, it doesn't look like it's going to change, you got fired, you got no job, or your kids are acting up, or you got a health issue that's just, the doctors are giving you every kind of bad news that could be. God said, I won't abandon my people. I won't abandon them. He was made sin, 2 Corinthians 5:21. He was made sin for us that knew no sin. He took on our weaknesses and infirmities so we didn't have to. It says he made a show openly of the devil, triumphing over him in the cross. So if we'll just embrace and take hold and take heart, take heart. Say, take heart.
Take heart.
I have the victory in Christ Jesus. Amen. Turn over to Hebrews chapter 13. We know this scripture. And then I just want to close with one other scripture. This is a very familiar scripture, Hebrews 13, verse 5 and 6. It says, "Let your conversation be without covetousness, and be content with such things as you have. For he hath said, I will never leave thee, nor forsake thee." It says, I won't forsake his inheritance. He won't forsake his inheritance. "So that what? We may boldly say," that's taking heart, "boldly say, the Lord is my helper, and I will not fear what man in these world systems will do unto me." I'm not going to fear. God is with me. If you don't know any other scripture, you can just say, God's with me. He won't leave me. He won't forsake me. He's for me. Now, I just want to close with this. 2 Corinthians chapter 1. 2 Corinthians, we were there before, but let's, at the beginning of that chapter, 2 Corinthians chapter 1, and I want us to look at verses 3 and 4. 3 and 4. 2 Corinthians. I'm going to read this from the King James. But I have a reason for reading it. I'll tell you in a minute. Say amen when you get there.
Amen.
I'm going to read from the King James. It says, "Blessed be God, even the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who, the Father of mercies and the God of all comfort." Now look here, looky here, looky here. I did that to wake you up. But verse 4, what does it say? Who does what? Who comforteth us in all our what? Tribulation. That word again is the same exact Greek word that we read in John 16:33 and also Thessalonians 3:1. That word tribulation means something that's just in the natural, it's unbearable. The pressure, the squeeze. He said, "He comforteth us in that." So don't question, say, "God, where are you? What's God?" He's there. He's there to comfort us. It's the same thing. It's the same word again. It indicates a level of intensity that's almost unbearable in the natural. He comforts us in that. This is the revelation that Paul had. How does he comfort us? John 14. You know the story. Jesus said, "I got to go away." He's telling his disciples, "I got to go away. And if I don't go away, I can't send you a comforter." And the disciples didn't want him to go. But he said, "If I don't go, then the Father, I can't have the Father send another comforter." So how are we going to be comforted in these situations? By his Spirit. He's going to comfort us. He is our comforter. He is our helper to help us in these unbearable, pressure-squeezed things in life. He's there to help us. If we look to him too, he is our helper. He is our strength. That's what he said in John 14:16. "And I will pray the Father, and he shall give you another comforter, that he may abide with you forever." So he's with us forever. In every extreme situation and pressure and adversity of life, he's there to help us. But you could see Paul, what did he do? He sent Timothy down to the church at Thessalonica, those believers, because it looked like they were ready to just throw it in, quit. Let us not quit or throw it in. Let's look to the greater one. Greater is he, who? The Spirit of God in us, than he that is in the world. Greater is he that's in us. You know, your mind will play, will tell you, you're just not going to make it. You're not going to have it. You won't get it. This sickness is no way. But God. He's here to help us and to comfort us and not to forsake us. Amen. Praise God. Father, we thank you today for your word. We take heart. We look to your word and your Spirit to walk us through these issues that we face in life. And we thank you for your comfort Thank you for your abiding presence. And we thank you that we are overcomers in Christ. And we thank you for it, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen. You know, I just share these thoughts because I believe, you know, the Holy Ghost said there's some folks facing some things that are difficult. And we need to be reminded of what the Word of God says. We need to be reminded that our answer is in the Word of God. We need to be reminded of who lives in us. We need to be reminded how great He is. Cast not away, therefore, your confidence, which have great recompense of reward. He is faithful that promised. Remind yourself of how faithful He is, faithful to His promises, and that He is working in your midst. But you've got to believe. And you've got to say it. You've got to say it with your heart. Take heart. And say, my God is working in my midst. He's working it out. The steps of a good man are ordered of the Lord, and He delights in His way. He's working in my midst. And He's directing my steps. Hallelujah. Glory to God. So if you're going through something, just reach out to Him. That's what He told me today. He said, just reach out to Him, embrace His word, take heart that God is with you. Take heart and don't quit. That's what He's saying. Don't quit. Stiffen up, straighten up. I'm going through this. We're going to make it. Yes. We're going through. The devil is defeated. Yes. Submit yourself, therefore, to God. That means submit yourself to the Word of God. And then do what? Resist the devil, and he will flee. These circumstances will flee. May not look like it, but it will. In the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Glory to God.